We're here with Stefan Weinerhall of Falconer. And Stefan, what is Falconer currently up to, and what are you guys currently doing right now?
Actually, we haven't done anything for since we recorded the last album. And it was just according to a plan that after we recorded Other Mode, we would take a little break and devote ourselves to the family and rebuilding houses and all kinds of stuff. So nothing has happened. The only thing that actually happened Falconer-wise is the commercial for Mini Cooper. But, I mean, we weren't involved one bit in that. That's just Metal Blade and the advertisement firm, I guess, in Los Angeles. So that's the only thing that happened this winter.
So you guys were in a commercial?
Yeah, we were. We weren't exactly in the car commercial, but one of our songs was. And then they had to hire some kind of make-believe Falconer band who played on the stage, but it was just a mock band, so to speak. We just couldn't make it to the recording because they phoned me, I think, 2 days prior to the actual recording of the advertisement. And I mean, we can't everyone just take time off in 2 days and go to the States.
Yeah.
Although it would have been really, really great, but I mean, at least our music is in the ad.
Which song did they use?
Yeah, strangely enough, they used a song called let's see if I remember it. Herr Peder och hans syster. A Swedish folk tune sung in Swedish, used for an American car commercial. Sounds quite strange.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah. It's good to be aired in, I think it was something they showed at the theaters nationwide for about 1 week or something, but I guess about a million people saw it at least, so good commercial.
Well, I really liked the production and the music of the last album, and you know, I know it got a lot of people that weren't that happy about the fact that it was recorded in Swedish. But in my opinion, I thought that was kind of interesting. You decided to go that route, and why did you decide to record the album entirely in Swedish?
Yes, just to do something different. I didn't really know how to progress from Among Beggars and Thieves because, according to me, it sounded pretty much like the album before that. So, okay, what should I do now to make something special? And with talking about doing a completely Swedish folk album, even from the start, so this was just a great opportunity to actually do that. And, of course, since you're selling albums in all over the world, just singing in Swedish, maybe not so clever, but I knew that we wouldn't become multimillionaires anyway, so just let's have some fun and do it for ourselves. I think most people like that. Maybe the States wasn't that receptive of that idea, but what the hell, next time we're back in singing in English again.
I received this question from a lot of people, but is there any way to find the lyrics translated into English? Meaning that, is there anything online that people can look up? Find this.
Yeah, I think there's one guy at our forum that translates all the Swedish songs into English. But that's the only translation I know. Of course, I could translate all the lyrics too, but I don't do it. I don't think that America is our biggest market either. Mm-hmm. And I think that some of the mystique that's given to the foreign audience when we sing in Swedish, it's something good, I think.
Well, here's the thing, too, is that I thought it was interesting you decided to record this entire album in Swedish, and I guess I'm one of the people that really didn't care whether it was in English or not, because I thought musically the album was good, and I thought it was, I really liked it. And you don't see a lot of bands nowadays, you know, from Germany or other countries, really recording albums in their native language. They're actually doing everything in English, and I have to say that it was pretty ballsy for you to actually do this, and you know, and I'm sure you got some criticism for it, but you know, I just wanted to tell you that I thought it was an interesting move for you on this last album to record it in Swedish.
And not least Swedish bands, because, I mean, we're just 8 million Swedes, so it's not a very good thing to do if you want to sell millions of copies.
Uh-huh.
But I mean, when we started doing that album, and everything just sounded so folk music-ish, or what you call it, using the Swedish language was just, it sounded the best and the most natural. It fitted the musical style the best, and it was something special to do also. But writing the lyrics in English is way easier, because trying to sing in Swedish and sounding not too pretentious is quite hard. I mean, me trying to write Swedish poetry is not the most natural thing to do. But I'm quite proud of the outcome of the album, anyway.
Now, how was that received? Well, how was the album received? Because, you know, I did see some negative stuff online about the fact that you guys didn't record it in English, and you know, just out of curiosity, the album musically was good. It sounded good, had great production, and you obviously recorded everything in Swedish. So how was the album received when you did this, and what kind of reception did you get?
Better than I expected, actually. Because musically, I think we have some harder stuff on the album, but some few blast beats and some heavier songs, and I think those things really were well-perceived by the media and the fans, too, but I think the biggest problem was the language. Some liked it and some thought it was just like we tried to turn our backs to the foreign fans, so to speak, but who cares? It was something different to do anyway. I don't think that the response would have been much better if we used the English language instead. And for us, it's just, if we're going to do a folk metal album, we have to sing in Swedish, because otherwise it's like a Spanish mariachi band and not singing in Spanish. You just don't do it.
Now, I have to say, I was really a fan of the album before Arnad, and that was the album Among Beggars and Thieves. I thought it was one of the best albums you guys had put out. And I know it's been a very long time since we've talked. I mean, it's been about 11 years, actually, because that was the last time we actually spoke. I actually had you on the show. And, you know, I'd like to talk to you about some of the past records you've put out as well. Maybe do a little catching up here. So talk a little bit about the album Among Beggars and Thieves and some of the ideas that went behind it, you know, the making of the record, and just talk about, in general, that record.
All the lyrics on Among Beggars and Thieves is actually based upon real historic events in Scandinavia. And, I mean, besides music, history is my main interest.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a really fun album to do, too. And we had three Swedish songs on that one, too, so it slowly progressed into the newest album when we really let the Swedish language flow. And musically, I would call Among Beggars and Thieves a bit more progressive. Quite tricky songs sometimes, and I mean, the last song on the album is called Dreams and Pyres, and it's 9 minutes long. And we have three vocalists doing a metal version of a musical or something like that. It really sounds like a musical sometimes to me. And we used quite a lot of keyboards on that album. Where on the newest Armod, we didn't use any keyboards. Well, a few tiny bits, but nothing compared to Among Beggars and Thieves. So more progressive, musical sounding, theatrical album, I would call it. I think I spent the most time on producing that album, Among Beggars and Thieves. But I'm quite satisfied with the outcome, although it sounds a bit... Some songs, I think, would have gained if I didn't try to stick as much things as possible into the song.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, now we've done that too.
And then there's the album Northwind, which I really, really like quite a bit. And I remember that was Matthias's first album back with the band. And I have to tell you that I really, really enjoy that record still quite a bit. It's still, to me, one of the best Falconer albums out there. And talk a bit about the making of that record and talk about getting Matthias back in the band.
Well, after Grime vs. Grandeur, an album that wasn't that well received by the fans, and I felt a bit lost too, because it, at that time we were at a place where I didn't really recognize my own songwriting or the band Falconer. So I started doing the more folky, melodic power metal stuff, and it didn't really sound like Christopher should do that, because he's the more heavy metal, hard rock guy. And all those melodic, half-wimpy melodies, Matthias should really do this. And when he accepted my question, I mean, the songwriting just kept flowing. It was no problem at all. So that's my favorite Falconer album. Easy to listen to and easy to play and fun to play. I don't think we really tried to do something special or try to make the music go in this or that direction. It just came by itself, like the first album, spontaneously, and I guess that's a recipe for success. I think Catch the Shadows, a song from that album, that's the best Falconer song in my opinion.
Well, I agree with you, too. I think that's one of your better songs off of that record. And, you know, I want to kind of take it a step further, is that when that album came out, I ended up getting the Digipak with the second disc, which actually had four songs in Swedish on it. But you know, one of the things that I thought was great is that you got Matthias back in the band, and musically that album was just outstanding. And, you know, I even liked the previous two records before that, even though many people didn't. I liked those as well. But, you know, I thought Northwind was a really good return to form for the band, and I thought it was a good progression from the first couple of records that you guys had actually recorded with Matthias.
Yeah, the only album I don't really like by myself is Scepter of Deception, because at that time we tried to do the quote-unquote real Falconer style, but with the wrong vocalist,
mm-hmm.
and we tried to do a concept album. I mean, there was just too much changes going on. The sound is quite weak, the music is bad, the vocalist doesn't really know how to adapt to the music.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the title track is quite good, Scepter of Deception, but otherwise, yeah, I don't think so.
It was a cool concept, though. It was about the reign of King of Sweden, actually, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it's about the three brothers who tried to rule side by side after their father dies, but as usual, that doesn't really happen, so a lot of murders and mysteries and deception, and but it's a true event, so it's not just a fictional cool story, and that's the best thing of it all, I think.
The band has been established for quite a while, and, you know, you don't really hear much about Falconer over here in the States, aside from the commercial that we had talked about. And, you know, what kind of reception do you get over here in the States? I mean, is there any type of fan base? Do you get any responses from the U.S.? And, you know, what is your U.S. audience like for Falconer?
Not that much from the U.S. I get responses from the pages I regularly look at, but, I mean, we're not a touring band or doing festivals every year or having a new album out each year either, so we can't really be in that kind of focus that, for example, I don't know, Ed Guy or some other kind of band. I've always considered Falconer as a hobby band, and now for the last couple of years we have a bit too much things going on, so we make an album, then let's wait for 2 or 3 years to make a new album, and nothing actually happens in between. And, of course, the risk is that the fans forget us, because new bands pop up and new CDs come out, and Falconer, who? Oh, that band that released an album 3 years ago and never toured or anything. But that's the chance we take. And of course, Matthias had that. He said that when I asked him to come back to the band in 2005, I think.
Mm-hmm.
That I will probably not be able to play any tours or so on, because my main focus is the theaters and the musicals and stuff like that, and that was fine by me, because making and recording the music, that's my priority with the band. And of course, when we can do festivals, we'll take the chance, but then we gotta have like 5 or 6 festivals booked, because we always have to start rehearsing from scratch. If you haven't played the old songs for 2 years, you don't really, maybe you remember one riff or something.
Yeah.
But you really have to pick out the music again from the stereo.
I want to get off the topic of Falconer just for one question here. And and bring up the previous band you were in called Mythiton, and it's very difficult to find, you know, those 3 records. And have you ever thought about maybe putting those out again or getting them re-released at some point in your career?
I'm not really sure who owns the rights to those albums. Because Invasion, who released the album back in the good old days, I think they sold the pressing rights, or I don't know what you call it in English, to Carmageddon Media, and they sold it in their turn to Third Part. But I don't think that we as a band can issue a new pressing without getting lawsuits and blah blah blah.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many CDs we will actually sell 10 years after we disbanded.
Yeah. It was a good band.
We constantly get questions about Mythoton, and can't you reunite for a One Buckin show, for example? Okay, that's gonna be fun. Trying to figure out what we played 10 years ago and playing one show. But I think that Carl and Karsten, Karsten is playing with Falconer too. They started King of Asgard, and I think they sound pretty much like Mythoton. Not really, but something to that direction anyway. You shouldn't really say never, but I think it sounds quite far away to reunite Mythoton.
Yeah, I remember that last Mythoton album came out. I remember Metal Blade was really pushing it over here in the States for radio. And I tell you what, I really did like that record quite a bit.
Maybe it was because a few months after Invasion, the record label for Mythoton, after they just disappeared or disbanded, Metal Blade contacted me and wanted Mythoton to sign to Metal Blade. But at that time, we had already split the band up, and I'd started Falconer. So you could say that Falconer got a really, really easy way into the record business. And by the way, I've got a new band. Okay, we'll sign you. Okay, thank you. I had to send a demo, but I don't think it was really necessary.
Oh, that's interesting. That's an interesting story you got going on. Now, you know, do you have any plans, you know, I guess, you know, for another record? Have you started writing for anything? Have you, you know, maybe thought about the next album?
Yeah, I have. I think I've got about 4 or 5 songs done. And it's not going to sound like the last album at all, because it feels like I got the folk music and the Swedish lyrics out of my system. So all English lyrics and a lot of more double bass drums and lots more speedy songs and so on. So more punch to it, more aggressivity, more speed. Yeah, some influences from Mythoton, I would say. A harder album. I think it's going to be the hardest album that Falcon has released. I'm quite excited. It actually started when I bought the book about trying to read the rune stones, I mean the ancient Swedish language, which is not really like the same language anymore, but all that got me really inspired into the paganism and Odinism and all that. So I started getting all those Norse Viking influences again that I had in Mythoton. So yeah, a couple of riffs came out from that. So I think it's going to be a really good album.
Sounds really good. So
I can't really promise when we're going to record it, but let's say that there's going to be an album out. I would guess late in the beginning of 2013. Next year, someone. Anyway, I really hope, because I long to get back to the studio and putting down my ideas on tape.
Well, Stefan, obviously I like to keep my interviews slightly limited as far as time goes, so that way I'm able to play it on the radio. So, you know, do you have any last words to say to the fans out here in the U.S.?
Yeah, I think that you should really go visit YouTube and search for Mini Cooper plus Falconer. We just don't fit that commercial. It sounds strange for me to say it, but I can't get that into my head. Falconer playing a Swedish song in an American car commercial. Greatest thing ever, I think.
Yeah, I've never seen a commercial, but I have to. Now I am going to go look it up. Now I'm interested to see what this looks like. It's for Mini Coopers, you said, like the Minis.
Yeah, Mini Cooper.
That's awesome. And,
it looks a bit strange that there's the actual band playing on stage, and it's not us. Hmm. Well, we had the chance, but we blew it.